All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our NFL podcast for Wednesday, October 26th. I am Doug Norrie, and that is
James Davis.
And we are running a podcast behind this week. We typically post our Tuesday morning podcast recapping the week before. We missed that because of some travel things this week. No big deal. We're going to get into week 8 in the NFL with our cash game plays today. We're from dailyfantasysportsrankings.com or DFSR.com. For short. You can head over to the site now. There we have backup free trials to our NFL system if you are just chopping into that now, or our wildly popular NBA system, which crushed the first night, so feeling very good about that. Crushed a small Tuesday slate, so that's all wrapped up into one membership package. If you want to go over, you check it out, free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. You're all set for everything you need in DFS, and we think that price point is about as good as you'll find in the industry. Buddy, We didn't really recap week 7, though some of that will come into play, I think, with just how we're going to break down the cash game picks, or who we see at least here on Wednesday morning as being some of the cash game plays. Give me some real quick brief thoughts about the week that we missed on Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was the first week in feels like a while where the people that were supposed to be good were good. So that's good for us because we're, I think, pretty good at figuring out who's supposed to be good.
Right.
So, you know, the big running backs, the big wide receivers. I mean, it was incredible on FanDuel especially to see just everyone play the same wide receivers and have them all be good. Like that actually is probably way more rare than I think I realized. But yeah, to have chalk guys like Julio Jones, AJ Green in big tournament winning lineups was interesting to see. Jay Ajayi goes and gets 200 yards 2 weeks in a row. Kind of weird.
Right.
What we're supposed to do about that. But yeah, otherwise it was one of the less noteworthy weeks, or maybe more noteworthy based on how easy to predict it was overall.
Yeah, it was really funny because you basically, because every chalk play hit, essentially, it really came down to you needing to have picked the right tight end, at least on FanDuel. You needed to have picked the right tight end and quarterback, basically. Yep. We had Geno Smith, so he tears his ACL in the first half, and that was kind of just sunk us. He was on his way to a nice day, but really it was just came down to those two positions because the wide receivers and running backs, everyone was just playing the same guy, which is why you saw cash game lines just, I mean, at least on FanDuel, just so high. So some of that will translate to this week. When we start to look at week 8, I get the sense that it's going to be pretty chalky again, not to the same degree, but it did. I mean, when we were looking at just our first update of the system and picking out who we were going to write up, this was about the fastest it took us to like just kind of say, you know, these 12 guys, these 15 guys, and just kind of move on. And when it's like that, I tend to think, you know, football is one of those things where it's both easy and difficult. It's easy because the player pool is small, but it's difficult because everyone knows all the same guys, and there's just not, and sometimes it's hard to get separation like that. So let's go into quarterback first. Who do you see? We wrote up three players, Brady, Rodgers, and Winston. Give me who you think right now, if you were to start one of those three, and we'll go through the case for each one of them, but which one of those three stands out to you as maybe the safest cash game guy?
I'd say it's Brady. You know, as I look through these three guys, they all have their different pros and cons. But in terms of strictly consistency, Brady has been the guy who's done it in each of his starts this season. You know, Rodgers, we had some concerns about early on. His completion percentage was down. It's bounced back up, you know, averaged 70% in the last two games. And, you know, phenomenal matchup with Atlanta. Yeah, he might wind up being the guy that more people play overall. But with Brady, what you get is just game in, game out consistency. I didn't put in a huge total against Pittsburgh, but a lot of that was just due to game script and the fact that Pittsburgh wasn't fielding anyone on offense, or at least the most important guy, the quarterback, was out. So still 222 yards on 19 to 26, two touchdowns, wasn't sacked, wasn't picked off against the league average Bills team. Just feels safe to me, although I can see other people, maybe even you, feeling like Rodgers is the safer guy.
Well, I don't think Rodgers is safer in this. Well, okay. Rodgers is clearly not a better skilled quarterback at this point. The safety with Rodgers probably more stems from they just throw a ton. They just throw so I threw like 50 something times last game, and it stands to reason with the running back situation that that's going to continue for him. So like if they're basically employing wide receivers as their running backs in Montgomery and Cobb, and you know they definitely will hand the ball off to those guys. So those guys did get some going on the ground, but it's such a totally different offensive system for them now. And if he's just going to be a mid-40s or higher volume quarterback, Like, he had basically, okay, so let's put it this way. Rodgers had about as bad of a fantasy game you can have for throwing 55 times last game. Like, I know he ended up being fine, but, you know, he was, like, just over 300 yards. I think he was, like, 2 or 3 touchdowns. That's just not that great for 55 passes. But if you're just going to continue to throw the whole game, then, yeah, I don't know. I think that's where...
They're also handing the ball to wide receivers at the running back position, and the guy who got the most carries got 9, right? So, like,
exactly.
I think you can make a strong case that, especially, I mean, this game also has the highest total of the week, so I think that Rodgers, I mean, who do you suspect has a higher ownership percentage, Rodgers or Brady?
That's close. I don't know. I think it's going to be pretty close. Well, the other guy, too, that we didn't mention, and we did not write up, but I'm wondering your thoughts here on, like, why we didn't. So, I know we're kind of, like, all over the place with this quarterbacks, but it's fine. Is Russell Wilson plays the Saints? Why don't we write up Wilson in this case where we write up the other two guys? Because clearly the Saints are one of those matchups that you do want to also target in DFS, and he's around the same price point as Brady and Rodgers. We just tend to go like, look, we're going to pick a lane and stick to it. Like, we're just not going to be one of those outfits that just writes up every guy and then just pats ourselves on the back at the end and be like, nah, we mentioned him. You know what I mean? So we pick a lane and we stick with it. Why Brady, Rodgers, and not Wilson in this case?
Wilson's just not been good this season. Yeah. I think it's probably the main reason. I mean, you know, the peripheral numbers haven't been terrible. You know, 66% completion, 7.5 yards per attempt is below his season-long averages, but it's not awful. But that offense has just been kind of bad. I mean, 2 games in a row without a passing touchdown, and perhaps more importantly, he's just really not running the ball. What you were getting from the past with Wilson is, you know, that consistent. So, like, if you break it down, you know, 35 yards per game on the ground last season, 53 the year before that, 33. This year it's 5 yards per game on the ground. And if he's just going to give back fully 3 or 4 points a game of fantasy point expectation, he still be priced like the guy who used to run all the time, it's just not worth it financially.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that one too, and that's the difference. And so, I mean, and Rodgers actually. So you look at Rodgers as Rodgers is getting that, you know, 10 to 15 yards per game on the ground, mostly because if you watch him play, he just spends like half of his time running for his life because like he'll drop back to pass, miss the first read, or just like the first read isn't open, step up in the pocket, bounce around, kind of just roll out. And then either like take off for his life or just kind of like throw something on the run. It seemed like I'm not like a game film guy for sure, but it just really did seem like that was happening just like 1 out of every 2 times he dropped back the pass. But if that's going to happen and you're going to get, you know, 20, 25 yards rushing and the chance to get in the end zone, you're right. That's the thing we expected from Wilson. That's just not happening. So I think Wilson's the guy. If there was a guy that I would say people will talk themselves into playing, it would be him just because of the matchup with the Saints. But I think for me, it probably goes Brady, then Rodgers, and then give me the case for Jameis because we took him sort of in a tier below those two guys.
Sure. The case for Jameis this week is that he's facing the worst passing defense in the NFL. Oakland has continued their streak of just allowing, you know, roughly 10% more passing yards per game than any other team. And the main reason that happens, frankly, is just because Oakland's offense has played so well, too. So they have, you know, pass a lot. They create a lot of possessions for the other team by virtue of either scoring or having, you know, quick possessions by, you know, throwing a few incompletions or whatever. The thing you're not going to like about Winston if you're going to play him in cash games is he is pretty erratic. I mean, you know, he's relying a lot on the long ball. His receivers like Mike Evans, you know, he doesn't really have that consistent Antonio Brownish or, you know, even Julio Jones to a lesser degree type of guy. Evans is more of like in the T.Y. Hilton, Amari Cooper mold. So, I mean, he's pretty boom or bust. And that being said, on a $7,400 price tag and $5,700 on DraftKings, he could easily put up as big a game as Rodgers or Brady if the game script takes him in that direction. So, I mean, I like Winston plenty. It's just a question of, is this really, you know, are you really going to watch him taking that extra beat in the pocket and, you know, rolling and making bad decisions when guys like Rodgers and Brady have nice matchups? I probably won't.
With Winston, well, I think I'm totally fine with it on DraftKings at $5,700. That's so cheap for a quarterback in this matchup. Cheap. And you just get to basically jam home volume guys everywhere else. With Evans, it's funny because I wonder sometimes if it's a chicken or the egg thing with his lack of, you know, his inconsistency in terms of converting targets to receptions. But again, I don't watch enough game film to know exactly what the case is here. But it could be a little bit of both. It could be a little bit of Winston not being that accurate and, you know, Evans's routes, like a combination deal. But the fact that he will they just continued to just target him over and over and over again. That didn't change at all. It didn't stand a reason that it would change with Jackson out, but I worried a little bit about him drawing some more double teams. It didn't seem to matter. They still targeted him a ton, especially in the red zone.
Yeah, sure. I mean, and let's be clear. It's not that he's doing a bad job running the routes that they give him. It's just that the specific routes that he gets to run are very high variance, and he's actually excellent downfield. I mean, in traffic, he hauls in a lot of those balls that a lot of receivers would not. It's just hard, you know. If people could bring in more than 50% of passes that travel 20 yards or more, they would, right?
Right.
you'd be the best receiver in history if you could have Antonio Brown's, conversion percentage and run Mike Evans' routes. But it's just the fact that the Bucs are willing to take gambles like that more frequently than other teams, and that's really, what winds up making them a more high-variance offense to take a crack at.
All right, at running back, it's again a situation where I see a lot of the value concentrated. There's probably a few more decisions here at running back, only because there's, I would say, end up being 4 to 6 pretty high quality plays going into the week, coming in different price tiers. The first guy we have is David Johnson, headed up against the Carolina Panthers. He's been pretty beastly this year, and in the way the Cardinals have used him. Judging between him, I'm just going to give you a comparison of why we wrote up him as opposed to like DeMarco Murray, considering they're in the same range. So we picked, of those two guys, we were like, let's not write them up both. Let's just pick David Johnson. We think he's better in that range. What's the case for Johnson over Murray here?
Well, actually, in my mental planning, I have a note here that says Johnson over Murray, question mark.
So, nice. Great.
Like, I'm not actually sure. I'm going to reserve my conviction to say, like, I'm not so sure it's that clear between Johnson and Murray. I think they both have their own pros and cons. I think what you really like from Johnson is just that the usage has been astronomical recently. I mean, 32 touches per game in the last three games, and he's done a lot with that usage, converting it to huge receiving totals, in terms of a yards per catch basis and in terms of a yards per carry basis. So, anytime you're going to get a guy who can score 21 points against Seattle in the previous week, it doesn't really matter that you have a kind of tough matchup with Carolina in the following week. So I think what we're liking with Johnson is just the consistency and the opportunity. The Cardinals clearly, I think they're just probably a slightly better offense than Tennessee overall, and they just trust Johnson a ton, and he's just a more established guy to my mind than Murray is. And, even Murray, he's gotten a lot of usage recently but hasn't done a whole lot with it against Miami, Cleveland, and Indianapolis in three good matchups. So I think that was kind of like, the straw that broke the camel's back in this decision-making process.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, Murray, another good matchup with Jacksonville this week. Yeah, still got 28 touches last week. I wouldn't fault anyone for playing Murray here, and I'm not even convinced that I won't wind up doing that when the time comes, but I think that's kind of what tipped the scales in favor of Johnson.
Yeah, no, I think I'm with you too. It is a little maybe closer than I thought at first blush, where I thought Johnson. We have Johnson as the highest raw points running back on the week. It's just that he is just a tick more expensive than Murray on both FanDuel and DraftKings. So I mean, not much, like 5% or something like that. But that can matter, down the line, especially if you think that the touches are going to be about the same. Anyway, I think this will probably end up being something that we talk about Sunday morning. This is where we'll be revisiting.
Yeah, exactly.
After him, I think the next guy that will be somewhat of a chalky play is Devontae Freeman. No Tevin Coleman this week. And it's funny about Freeman because you made a great point. You were like, you said something like Freeman's a guy we considered at 7,500, so at points even when he was sharing it with Coleman. Now Coleman will not play. Does Freeman strike you as just like, at his price point, the safest play in the week?
I can't imagine anything else, actually. The Falcons have the highest implied total on the week per Vegas. Freeman, 20 touches last game, 15, 26 the game before that. Like, the Falcons obviously very much want to get him involved. I think partially, actually, keeping Coleman in the picture has been more just to keep everybody happy and sane. But Freeman's put up some huge weeks in the past when he was the only guy. Like, I'm hearkening back to last year and in a game where, we might have some uncertainty about it, I guess, if it were a harder matchup. But, Atlanta has the highest implied total of the week.
And
they love passing out of the backfield to running back. So, yeah, I think he's going to be the highest owned running back, almost without a question.
Yeah, the fact that he'll catch balls out of the backfield helps him. The fact that they're just going to just probably unabashedly rely on him this game, knowing that they'll have assuming that they'll have Coleman back, where you can just sort of kind of do that to a player as a one-off. Like, you wouldn't want to do it every game, but
And he's going to be fresher than the average RB1 anyway, simply because he hasn't had to carry a full workload.
Right. So the last guys, and so this is sort of an A or B situation. We wrote up Well, it's okay. Ty Montgomery is a running back on FanDuel and a wide receiver on DraftKings. We wrote up Montgomery as a running back, which would sort of predispose us to playing him, maybe even possibly choosing him on FanDuel over Jacquizz Rodgers. How do you see that situation working out? We did not write up Rodgers, though we kind of talked about off air that
he'll show up in our value article later this week.
Where do you see the difference between those two guys, really?
Well, again, Montgomery, he's a part of this game that has the highest total of the week. He was featured in the running game last week. He had the highest total number of carries for the Packers, although at 9, it's not really anything to write home about. The big thing here is that we would probably wind up playing him just for the receptions. Last week, 10 targets, or 10 receptions. The week before that, 10 receptions as well. So, he's putting up close to 80-something yards in the air, on a lot of receptions, which really matters on DraftKings and to a lesser extent on FanDuel as well. So he was already kind of a guy who's just a good value. And particularly for him, it's the snaps, right? So he goes from 35 snaps against Dallas all the way up to 60 snaps against Chicago. He's just out there, 22% target share and 9 carries. Like, he's just a huge part of the offense right now. And in that no man's land territory of $6,400, like, that's just a great, great value. So I could definitely see slotting him in and feeling great about it in any format, really.
Yeah, and then with Rodgers facing Oakland, if Rodgers was a pretty high volume guy again, not as much as he did that first game, but he's still, 27 touches overall, down from 35. Even the 27 alone is a huge number. If he's still the guy in Tampa Bay, which it stands to reason that he is, I think probably the closest decisions anyone's going to make this week are at the running back position between the five guys that we mentioned, the three that we wrote up and then the two that we didn't. But basically Johnson, Murray, Montgomery, Freeman, and Rodgers, not necessarily in that order, but those five guys I think will be the five that people just sort of stare at and say, oh man, I wish I could play all of them, right? Because there's really a strong case to be made for all of them. And when that's the thing, you kind of just need to hope that the guy that you stood by works, because a higher percentage.
You can also hedge and play multiple cash game lineups. Like, that's something that we're not shy about doing from time to time.
Or just play different slates also. They flexed the Atlanta Green Bay game from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock, and they did the opposite with Arizona and Carolina. Like, so the NFL did flex those games. You're going to be able to get separation in terms of, Johnson here, Montgomery there, sort of like, Freeman on the early slate, David Johnson on the late slate. It makes sense. I know some people want to really just stand by totally the main cash game, or excuse me, the main slates for all these sites, because those are the biggest ones. You get the most money in on them. But it really, 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 I can't stress it enough, you have to try to play as many slates as possible, especially if you're just going to be around all day Sunday. And that's why the optimizer helps here, because you don't need to spend a lot of time thinking about it. You can run the optimal lineups for each slate, and you're going to be in great shape. Like, we're cashing across those different ones, mostly because you're just getting the best value in each of those short ones. So I can't stress enough, playing multiple slates is the very best way to hedge.
Yeah, I'm on with that. And I think one note about Rodgers too, just a small note of caution there that maybe lost him the tiebreaker to Montgomery, was that, Peyton Barber did get 12 carries, was very effective last week, broke off that 44-yard touchdown. There is some murmurings that Doug Martin is now listed as week to week instead of, out. So I don't expect Martin to play this weekend, and I think most people don't, but just worth keeping an eye on. Anytime you have a backup running back getting 12 carries in a game, even though Rodgers did get an extremely high workload, it's just worth putting down in pencil on your notepad. That's all.
And by the way, and just before anyone thinks that, those Barber carries weren't necessarily like all late game. Like, he was shifting in the series during the game. So like, it wasn't like the Rodgers' first game with 35 touches where they didn't do that. They were slotting in Barber for a series. It wasn't all just kind of like late game run out the clock stuff. That's what he broke the long run late in the game, but he was getting work earlier on.
Well, so, sure. And Rodgers, when he was in Atlanta, for instance, I know in Atlanta, they never saw him as an every down back just because of his size. He's a small guy, 5'6", 205. Like, he's just not the guy you picture being a 30 carry a back game. No Jerome Bettis or anything like that. So I still love Rodgers for this week, especially if Martin's out, and might wind up playing him even in cash games, but can't hurt to paint the whole picture.
But I love that you default, your favorite default players are like back to your favorite Steelers teams. So like, I just love that Bettis, Willie Parker are some of your default guys to go to. I just appreciate that about you.
It's like a fast Willie Parker type or Jerome Bettis. Those are really the two molds of running back, are they not?
They really
it's
are.
Like, you ever play that old hockey game on Nintendo where You had the skinny guys, the medium-sized guys, and the fat guys. Did you ever play that game?
No.
That game's amazing. So yeah, like the skinny guys were fast but got knocked over really easily, and the fat guys were slower, but they could shoot really fast and check really well. So that's kind of like running backs. You have your Willie Parkers and your Jerome Bettises. So, you know, go Jacquizz Rodgers or Eddie Lacy. It just translates timeless.
It really, to you, buddy, it is timeless, and I really, really love it. Wait, was that in the game Blades of Steel?
That rings a bell, yeah.
Oh, okay. Let's get into wide receivers.
Let's keep talking about Blades of Steel.
Let's just keep talking about, like, late, you know, mid-90s to early 2000s football and Nintendo stuff.
Yeah, I feel like we're hitting our demo.
For sure. Wide receivers, we have, again, this was where it's
not Blades of Steel. I just looked up a picture of that. I'll find out for the listeners. Maybe you can put it in the show notes.
Awesome. We have some wide receivers here. Again, I think what ends up being, I suspect on the chalkier side with some of just the game totals coming in here. Give me your top wide receiver play this week and whether or not you think they're going to be chalk or not.
Yeah, the game is called Ice Hockey for Nintendo, and you can look it up. Just classic Ice Hockey, USA versus Russia. I'm going to go play that when we're done here on my emulator. Totally legal. Wide receiver, were you talking about wide receivers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you said a lot of smart stuff. One of the guys that I'm going to look at the wide receiver position, I actually think wide receiver is arguably the chalkiest position of the week, just because you had a lot of guys who did well last week, and they have good matchups again this week, and it's kind of a short slate. So,
right.
Top of the list, well, I'll talk about Randall Cobb in a second. He's actually in the top of the list, but
don't bury the lead, buddy.
I'm burying it, buddy. Just trust me here. I'm a broadcast professional. I've been doing this for years. Because now people are like, Randall Cobb. Oh, I'm titillated. I'm interested, James. Tell me more.
I was just about to turn it off. You're
going to have to listen for 4 more minutes and just sit on your hands.
I was just about to turn it off after they just diverged into like old Steelers talk and early Nintendo stuff. Yes, but now I'm going to stick around to the end. Exactly. Now I'm all in.
Tease is what you're looking for there. And speaking of that, we'll go to our – no, we're not going to go to a sponsor. let's talk wide receivers. So Julio Jones and Mike Evans are near the top of the list this week. You know, we talked about Winston already and Evans to a lesser degree. The big thing about Evans is, I mean, the targets. So he's got 75 targets so far this season, which actually places him in third place. And you're like, James, that's not that great. Third place is like a bronze medal. Like no one can name even a single bronze medalist unless they're related to them. Well, hold on. Mike Evans has played fewer games than those top two guys. See, I'm just crushing
him. You are, buddy.
but so 75 targets, but in only 5 games, I mean, that's – or I'm sorry, 6 games. It's completely ridiculous. He's on pace for 200 targets this season, which would, in the last 2 seasons, rank him just behind Julio Jones's performance last year. 12.5 targets a game for $8,000 is just, you know, too cheap. And then so he'd be a consideration anyway from week to week. Throw in the best possible matchup with Oakland. You know, he's a guy that while he's, you know, not totally a consistent guy, like I mentioned in that T.Y. Hilton-ish sort of range of turning about 50% of his targets into receptions. When you get that many targets, it just doesn't matter. 8,000, he's a cash game play, a big tournament play, every kind of play. So I really like him. Julio Jones, same story. Mohamed Sanu and Jacob Tammy are no longer in as much favor as they were earlier in the season. I suspect largely because of that calf injury that Julio Jones was dealing with. He seems to be fully back, absolutely dominant last week. And another nice matchup with the highest possible total this week. So those two guys, I suspect, will be on top of the chalk this week.
Yeah, I think you make a great point. When you have guys that are great, / they were good last week and everyone played them, it's fresh in everyone's mind. I mean, that can really work against you at times. Like when you have a great week and then you go to a, you know, like more of like a minus EV matchup, the next one, it's still stuck in your mind. Like, because we hear it all the time. We'll say, oh, so-and-so always performs for me or so-and-so never performs for me. Like they get these things in their head where it just become, throw all the other metrics out the window. You know, it's just like, you know, oh, Julio knew he was playing for Mike this week. You know, he just knew it. So he's going to do it again.
He'll call me up and be like, hey, dude, we got an email from Mike. He said that Bryce Harper has always let him down. Should we take him out of the optimal lineup?
should I downgrade him by 50% because this guy said he always lets him down?
Is he going to play him? Oh, Mike's not going to play him. So no, don't downgrade him. Now he's going to crush it. He's the best player.
That's the question we always need to ask, right? Is we need the follow-up question. Tell us what you're going to do. Anyway.
Unknown is that in our database, we have a full list of these guys who are, you know, and is Jose going to play this guy this week? Is Mike going to play that guy? And then we go in and really adjust things. But
we're probably going to lose some. We're going to lose some subscribers after they listen to this podcast.
Cause no, because we're using fake names. If you actually subscribe and your name is Mike or Jose, just know that the real names of the people are Bob and John. And so it's Bob and John who we're making fun of here, not you, Mike, not you, Jose.
After Julio and Evans, you tease us with
Randall
Cobb.
Randall Cobb is a good play this week. And again, a pretty obvious play. You know, we've already talked about Montgomery and Rodgers. The game has the highest total overall. And Cobb's a guy, you know, unlike Montgomery, who we actually do have historical precedent for what he's doing right now. You know, when, a couple of seasons ago, especially when Jordy Nelson went down, we saw the Packers really love what Cobb can do in the red zone and in short yardage situations. And, you know, it's easy to forget, but in 2014, that was 2014, Cobb was paying these prices, you know, he was paying an $8,000 price and people were happy with it. And the Packers, you know, if Rodgers is going to be back completing closer to 70% of passes as opposed to the 60 that he had been, and Cobb is going to be the main red zone guy and throw in five carries just for good measure, he's simply underpriced. You know, he'll be a value at this price and 10% more and probably 15% more. So I think you're going to be happy playing Cobb in any format as well.
And I want to make mention of something that we kind of messed up before, was that when we were talking about Murray versus Johnson, it slipped my mind that the Murray and the Titans were the Thursday game. And that was actually the reason we hadn't written them up. Because we had just kind of taken the Thursday games out of the thing. So before anyone sends me a hate mail piece about that, that was the reason why. So with Cobb, I'm with you. He's a volume guy. It's weird how they've sort of not like just taken Jordy Nelson out of things, but how he's Rodgers has been happy to just go kind of everywhere else again around that thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you're going to get Cobb sort of out of the backfield, if you're going to get those targets, he's just a very easy cash game play. We were all over him last week. It was great for Thursday and all over it again this week. Let's move. Oh, no. So we have one more guy, Michael Thomas from the Saints, as sort of a cheaper play. Do you see him still? Like, is he safe enough even at his, you know, he's pretty cheap, but he's in a Saints offense that is happy to spread the ball around a decent amount. Is he safe for cash games or is he more like a GPP type?
Probably more like a GPP type just because the other receiver options are so excellent. But, you know, kind of broke out last week, 10 receptions, 130 yards. But the thing about Thomas is that he's actually, you know, let's see here. Yeah, so he's averaged better than 9 targets a week over the last 4 weeks. And, you know, Brandon Cooks and Willie Snead being healthy really hasn't made that big a difference. And I think what I like about him this week in particular is that the Seahawks can be very tough on wide receivers 1 and 2. And they're very good at taking away the long ball in particular. And so Thomas, you know, going over the middle, running more of the short yardage routes, I think he'll actually see a greater target share than he has been, simply based on the fact that, you know, the Seahawks are going to be more incentivized to stop the known quantities there. And not that Snead is a hugely known quantity. I guess I'm talking more about Cooks in particular. So, yeah, I like Thomas this week. I think you can probably save up at other positions like running back, you know, wide receiver, you're effectively saving up by playing a guy like Cobb. So I won't jam him in there or anything, but just a guy to have on your radar.
Let's finish it off with tight ends. We got a little buzzed off with Hunter Henry getting a concussion / he just saw a significant downgrade in overall snaps last week in favor of Antonio Gates. Yes. Between the concussion piece with Henry, and I don't know his status for sure right now, and just the kind of the snap count that Gates saw last week, does Gates jump back into that safe cash game value now?
Yeah, Gates is there. You know, I have Gates ranked, you know, essentially 1A with Kyle Rudolph this week. So I'll give you the case for Gates. I mean, obviously he's been a huge huge tight end in the past. DraftKings in particular, he's just 2,700. So they're effectively giving him away, and no one could blame you for taking a guy with tight end 1 upside for the bare minimum. You know, that's a very unusual situation. He did get a 24% target share while he's been on the field during the last 3 weeks. So for Gates, it really hasn't been a question of, like, can he get open or is Rivers looking his way? It's just that he hasn't really been on the field.
Right.
And if Henry's dealing with a concussion protocol, we could certainly see a lot of Gates this week as well. But I'm not convinced that the best tight end of the week, the best tight end play of the week is just Jack Doyle again. I mean, people ran Doyle last week. We didn't really like it that much just because, you know, there was no real precedent for his performance. But now that we do have precedent for his performance and we have, you know, a lot of history of Andrew Luck liking to pass to those kind of short yardage tight ends, you know, you're basically getting him for the minimum on FanDuel under 5,000. and it's going to be hard for me to look elsewhere from him this week.
Yeah, Doyle was a guy who, even with Dwayne Allen out, hadn't seen the sort of bump up in targets that I thought he was going to until last week, right? And so sometimes you can be sort of just a minute too late on something like that, which is fine. But if that's going to be the case with Allen out and just the price, he'll be the definitely. I know I led with Gates, but I think Doyle will be the chalkiest guy because, again, popular play slash crushed it, and that's really just that's usually the recipe for everyone wanting to play a guy again. Yeah, in this case, it's correct. Like, you're not spending anything on it; it doesn't cost you anything to do it. You can play it for everywhere else. So, just why not? What about if you want?
Let me talk. I just want to give an overarching DFS strategy piece because I think this is a mistake I see, especially newer casual players make all the time, which is that in football in particular, and you know sometimes with basketball, but really in football, I think it actually behooves you to be a week late rather than a week early because. So, like, say in basketball, you get a guy, say, like, Derrick Rose goes out and his backup comes in, right? You can be fairly sure somebody's got to play those minutes. And if you're going to be on the court in a basketball game, it's really tough to do nothing at all. In football, that's not the case. Like, you know, the tight end number one goes down. There's no saying at all that the tight end two is going to get anywhere near the looks that the tight end one gets. And so by being a week late, I mean, sure, you didn't get to play Doyle at 4,500 last week. But if you get to play him at 4,900 this week, it's not like you got crushed. And what happens is you wind up, you know, not playing Doyle the times like you did the week before when Allen was out and he was terrible, right? So, right. Yeah, I don't mind being a week late in football at all. I would rather be a game early in basketball. And that's kind of, I think, how we often run the ship over here.
All right, that is it for us today. We are from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com or DFSR.com. We'll be back again Friday morning doing a game-by-game breakdown where we just take a look at plays from every single game on the slate. These were mostly our cash game plays. You can grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab, which calculates optimal lineups for FanDuel football, DraftKings football, and then NBA as well, all under one membership umbrella. That's about as good a deal as you'll see in the entire industry. Free for 3 days. And then $29.95 a month after that.
Now, that's all true, but you're really going to just go segue right into the close after I make that brilliant point. No response, no acknowledgement. I'm just saving our users collectively tens of thousands of dollars probably.
What I've been trying to work on is not just having you finish and then repeat what you say. Like, that's called active listening, which is usually good in a social setting, but in terms of podcasting, it's not always great because it just ends up being
repetitive.
Just say
like, yeah, totally, which is what you often say to me, you know. You just make me feel validated. It kind of feels like you're like, well, we should segue out of that. I'll just cut that out in post, you know?
Buddy, that point was great. We'll talk to everyone again on Friday.
Yes.
Later.